This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back into the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings. We're live on VSiN and DraftKings Network alongside former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonatoni. We got a great final hour on tap coming up in a half an hour. Simon Hunter will join us. Does a great job as a professional sports bettor, covers the NFL for the Action Network as well as a betting analyst. Excited to have him join us. We'll also have Step Into My Office today, some candidates that Michael might may or may not need to share some words of wisdom with. But what we're going to start with today is, of course, the news of the day for anybody just joining us. Justin Jefferson agrees to a four-year, $140 million contract extension with the Minnesota Vikings. According to reports, the deal includes $110 million in total guarantees, $80 million guaranteed at signing. Michael Lombardi.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, there's a lot of ways to look at the contract, right? But let's start with Jefferson. I mean, he really deserved it. He played extremely well. I mean, the night of the draft, the Eagles take Jalen Reagor. We won't mention that. That's still a sore subject. Everybody in Philly wanted Jefferson, and they took Reagor instead. I think they blamed Doug Peterson for that, and that's why he's probably down in Jacksonville. But nonetheless, this is a tremendous player who's benefited from the offensive scheme that's been there. And Kevin O'Connell last year made some incredible plays, 264 first downs in his 4 years, 30 touchdowns over 4 years, average 15 yards per catch. So, I mean, look, it wasn't a question of when. If he was going to get a new deal, it was when. It happened. Now, the numbers are always, you can jockey them around a little bit, right? And so when you break it down based on Sports Tech, which is a salary cap website, they say this is a four-year deal of $125.7 of practical dollars, meaning that there's new money in the deal with $88.7 guaranteed. Makes sense. But that number falls below 32 per year, which is what A.J. Brown got from the Eagles. So we're going to have to weigh this thing out. He did not get $35 million based on the numbers I'm looking at. And so A.J. Brown still would be the highest paid non-quarterback player in the league, slightly above Nick Bosa. So we'll have to see. But he's deserving of it. And now the ripple effect comes into play. Now, as I tweeted out, Stormy, Tyreek Hill's agent immediately is calling. And Miami's got to do something. They can't neglect it, because when you compare both players – you know, one guy's played 124 games, the other guy's played 60. You know, one guy has had 10,000 yards receiving, 76 touchdowns receiving. You know, he's got more numbers because he's older, but still, he's going to want to get a little bit of a bump and a little taste, because that's the way this works. If you can cut me and redo my deal, I can ask for more when someone makes more than me.
Yeah, Tyreek is calling, and, you know, CeeDee Lamb is certainly calling as well. And I wanted to present this to you because Adam Schefter on Twitter, he posted a side-by-side of the numbers between Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb, and a lot of people are looking at these numbers on the surface and saying, hey, a lot of these are really comparable. CeeDee Lamb, monster numbers last year while Jefferson was hurt, but he's had more monster years. The thing I want to get across to people, because while I think CeeDee Lamb is incredibly talented and deserving of a big new contract as well, I do not think that it is the same as Justin Jefferson. And here are a few reasons why. Jefferson has 700 more yards in six fewer games played. He's played 60 career games through this point in anyone's career who has ever played the game, has more than 300 yards more than anyone else. And like I said in hour one, if you want to see the true value of Justin Jefferson, look at the bank account of Kirk Cousins and what he has done to help Cousins continue to grow and secure contracts. In my mind, CeeDee Lamb is great. CeeDee Lamb is not Justin Jefferson. So I understand that Jefferson has reset the market and CeeDee Lamb is probably trying to see if he can get more than Justin Jefferson. And I think that that would be a moot point because he does not deserve the same contract.
Right. But here's the good news if you're the Dallas Cowboys. If this deal is what I gave you earlier in the segment, slightly below 32, he deserves that deal. He's going to get that deal, maybe not more than Jefferson, but that's an easy deal. Where it becomes hard for Jerry is if this number is 35, like being reported,
correct,
which it doesn't appear that way. If it's 35, that you're going to have a hard time getting anybody done. But if it's slightly below the 32 of A.J. Brown, I think Lamb may not get above him, but he's going to get close to him, which makes it a deal. See, the hardest thing in this sport is to figure out what's good and what's great. You don't mind overpaying for greatness. Where you get in trouble is when you overpay for good. And there's a lot of teams at the receiver position that have overpaid or overdrafted for just good.
So, Michael, from that dollars and cents perspective, I agree with you. I think that CeeDee Lamb will be in that $32 to $35 million a year range. It'll be in that wheelhouse. Why are these numbers that are reported different from the ones that are that they are in actuality? And with that in mind, like, how come we're all perceiving this as $35 million and it's not really that?
Well, because a lot of people don't understand contracts. So what's the new money?
Hold on, real quickly to follow that up then. Then why do you think Justin Jefferson accepted this deal if it wasn't higher and in that real actual wheelhouse of what we expected it to be?
Because I think he got $88.7 million. There's two negotiations for me. There is average per year, and then there is average per year, and then there's guaranteed money. And so when you're sitting there looking at almost $90 million of guaranteed money over the next 4 years, which you're going to earn $125.7 million, you say to yourself, okay, it's hard for me to turn that down. And, you know, if I want to hold out for $3 more million per year, this could take a while. Plus, let's not forget, Jefferson had a contract. See, we keep forgetting this. Like, they picked up his option. So he had a contract. And because he had a contract, you know, that contract is still there, right? That contract is still there. Now, I think when you look at it, you know, when you break it down, you have to really, now I'm looking at this other, he gets, you know, his contract this year was the option year. So they tore that up and they gave him the signing bonus of $37.4 million, right? He has per game roster bonuses in there that average $2 million. He's got a workout bonus that's $1 million. And so in his third year of the deal, only 18 point something is guaranteed. So, you know, you look at it, he's got a cash payout over the first couple of years that he's making this kind of money. It's hard to turn that down.
Yeah, and I'll continue to leave the math to you. But it was very telling to look in that guaranteed money graphic for wide receivers.
Let me answer your question. What they don't do is they don't count the last year. So it's so they add 4 years of $140 million is $35 per year, right? But he's got 5 years on the deal.
Sure.
So, like, they just disregard the 1 year. You can't disregard that. Like, he goes all the way out till he's 29 years old. At his base salary will be $33.2 million.
Regardless,
and every year he has option bonuses.
Yeah, I was going to say, regardless, good for Justin Jefferson. He deserves the payday. The guaranteed money there is significantly more than any other wide receiver that we have seen. He posted on X after the deal was official. Something that once was a dream is now my reality. There are so many people I can sit here and thank, but you all know who you are that helped me along the way. And we ain't stopping here. There's more to be done. Skol. So this deal does now secure his services through 2028, which, as we talked about earlier, the same window as his young new quarterback that just got drafted in JJ McCarthy. And it's great when you have the rookie deal and you can pay other people, just like we saw with the Houston Texans. CJ Stroud has this amazing offensive rookie of the year season, and because he's on his rookie contract, you can pay these other pieces around him and bring in some of the pieces that they did in free agency because you can afford that. I was also curious your thought process on all the conversations around Minnesota and potentially doing the draft day trade. I know we talked last week about, hey, Justin Jefferson could be available at the right price to go somewhere else. Was there any part of you that was surprised that Minnesota got this deal done and said, no, we're keeping our guy? We fielded calls, but we weren't interested in anything and sending him anywhere else.
Well, I think the reality is you cannot trade a Pro Bowl young player at 25 years old and for a draft choice. You don't know what you're going to get. You have no idea. You trade Eric Dickerson for 3 number 1s and 2 number 2s. And when you add up all those draft picks, you end up saying, wait a minute, we didn't give up anything for this guy. You know, the picks were horrible, you know? And so, you know, if they could have gotten back, and Schefter reported that they were never going to do it, but there was a report out there that said that if they could get Neighbors, which makes sense, if you believe Neighbors is an elite player to replace him on a salary cap, that's probably the right thing to do. assuming that Neighbors is as elite as you think he is, but at least you can feel it. You have it, tangible evidence of what you're going to get back. But when you just say, I'm going to trade Jefferson for two number ones and two number two, you have no idea really what you're trading for. You're fishing. You don't know what you're going to catch. Maybe a horrible year in the draft. It may be a horrible receiver draft. You just don't know. And they had a year of a contract, so they were in the perfect position to do it because, again, that year he's not going to hold out. He's got to do a deal, and you're going to be able to make a hay. And I think ultimately that's what he did.
Expectations for the Minnesota Vikings coming up this season, not particularly high. 6.5, the win total. They're plus 300 to make the postseason. 10-1, very long shot in the division as well. As for Jefferson specifically, 15-1 in the offensive player of the year market. 5th on the odds board behind Hill, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, and Ja'Marr Chase. Now, Michael, the only reason that I didn't go a little bit farther on the Tyreek Hill of it all is because rumor has it he's got an appointment with you today. Did you hear that? Did you see about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the only reason he would come in my office is because of something off the field or a contract, because his play on the field would never require me to mention anything. And of course, he could block a little bit better, but who cares for me?
Absolutely not. He is a golden goose, but he just needs a little bit of sage advice for somebody with your GM wisdom. So we'll hear Michael's advice to Tyreek Hill, a number of other players and executives next, and step into Michael's office. This is the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Act now and save big for a limited time when you use the promo code Lombardi. You can get a VSiN annual subscription for $199, usually $240 price. Now when you get this deal, $199, and we're throwing in an extra month for free, 13 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day. With VSiN Pro, you'll gain instant access to our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, exclusive betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video content. Don't miss out. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe today and use the promo code Lombardi to claim your discount and bonus month. But this deal will not last long. VSiN.com/subscribe, promo code Lombardi. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. There are a few players and executives, Michael, that need a conversation and have appointments at the desk. It's time for Step Into My Office.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk winger. Step Into My Office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
All right, I told you that Tyreek Hill had an appointment. He is sitting down in the office of Michael Lombardi after entering the offseason as the league's highest paid wide receiver at $30 million average annual value. Kind of a fugazi $30 million to begin with. He has now been leapfrogged by Amon-Ra St. Brown, A.J. Brown, and this morning, Justin Jefferson. Also saw his teammate Jalen Waddle get a new deal last week. Tyreek Hill's in the office, Michael. He's asking, should my agent be getting me more? What's your response?
Well, the question isn't should my agent be getting me more, is Miami should be calling me, because Miami needs me badly. I just saw a picture of Tua, Tyreek, and, you know, I don't know if he's going to hold up. But the offense, as you and I both know, is centered around you and Waddle. 80%. When you're on the field, the ball's coming to you. When you're off the field, it's probably going to be a run. So I don't know if you really need to panic or do anything. I think you can just be indifferent. Just act as if nothing's going on. Whistle, go to work. But they know that you mean business. They know they've got to come to you, and keep saying no. Keep saying no. Don't get desperate. Keep saying no, because they're going to keep pushing money towards you. They have to. Their season is predicated on you being there. We know the offense falls apart. Waddle gets doubled. And all of a sudden, you think the ball's going to Beckham? I don't think so. You think teams are going to play coverage the same way when you're not on the field as if you are? You are the best receiver in football. You scare the hell out of everybody. You scare me, and I'm not even at the game. So, like, what am I talking about? Don't answer the phone. The best thing you have going for you is say no. 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 Now, at some point, you're going to say yes when it gets to the right number. But right now, don't act desperate. Don't make Rosenhaus call. They should be calling you. They've already admitted to Adam Schefter that they know they have to do something. Now we'll see what they do.
And he has, of course, the evidentiary on-field support of last season when he was out, the way that it impacted the offense and his quarterback Tua Tagovailoa. Well, we'll stick with the wide receiver trend here. As John Lynch, general manager of the San Francisco 49ers, steps into the office, Michael, you've reported the Steelers believed they had a deal done for either Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel earlier this offseason, which obviously fell through. Ayuk's looking for a $30-plus million extension. Deebo's contract is going to have a huge cap hit this season. My husband so thoughtfully texted me that the 49ers are cooked because of this wide receiver situation. Now that Justin Jefferson's reset the market in this way, Michael, how should San Francisco handle their wideout duo?
Well, I think they have to have a short-term plan and a long-term plan. And the long-term plan probably doesn't include Deebo, because we know Deebo is a great player. But Deebo doesn't really have a position. It's the brilliance of your coach, Kyle Shanahan, that allows Deebo to shine, because when the ball is in his hands, he is an elite running back. And we know that for running routes and lining up outside the numbers, Ayuk's the better player. If it's 3rd and 8 and we got to win on the outside, it's going to be Ayuk winning out there, not Deebo. Now, Pearsall's better and could come along, and certainly that gives us a luxury. Jacob Cowling has shown speed and quickness, and that gives you another luxury. But I think at some point, you know, you're going to have to make a decision, Ayuk or Samuel, but you could defer that decision until next year. You can get as much out of Deebo as you can, make this one run, which is what I think they'll do, because this really isn't about Samuel or Ayuk. This is about Purdy. You're going to have to pay Purdy. And Chris is wrong in thinking they're cooked, because they'll pay Purdy and they'll have a receiver and they'll have Bosa and they'll continue to draft and they'll take running backs at a cheap value. They'll lose McCaffrey at some point because of age, and they'll replace him with someone else who's a good player, who may not be as good as Christian, but they'll replace him and get his money and shift it to a receiver. So they're in good shape, but they can't have it with Purdy under contract for a huge deal. So one more year at this, and then next year, Pearsall will be ready to be the next receiver, and Ayuk or somebody will be on the outside, and you'll have extra draft picks to go with it. So I think patience is a virtue. And look, Ayuk's got to come to camp. He's got a contract.
Yep. The San Francisco 49ers, the favorite to come out of the NFC, second shortest shot to win the Super Bowl behind only the Kansas City Chiefs. And like I always say to Chris, those who live in Carolina Panthers houses should not be throwing stones.
Yeah.
Neither.
Yeah. Listen to him throwing stones. I mean, can you imagine that? Like, can you imagine that he ceased challenging? I mean, he won 2 games last year. He couldn't score a point, and now he's worried about some other team. I think he ought to worry about his own team at first, right?
The audacity of that man in my household. Okay, Micah Parsons and CeeDee Lamb are coming to the office together, Michael. Neither one of them were on... We're at the Star in Frisco for OTA practices this offseason. Mandatory minicamp in Dallas begins tomorrow, June 4th. Both guys are sitting at your desk today asking what will work best for us to get our cash money homie sooner rather than later. Should they come to minicamp? Should they not? Where do things stand for in your mind with Parsons and Lamb?
Well, I think you should both go to minicamp. Why give back money? You know, you're under contract. They can fine you. But I think, Micah, you're in the best position because you're going to get a ridiculous deal. And CD, your deal's easy to do. It's you got $17.7 million this year. You know that Jefferson just got $140 million of new money and 4 more years. So you 5 years at $157 million. That comes out to slightly below $32 million. You should take that deal. If Jerry will guarantee at $90 instead of the $88, you should take that deal. That's an easy deal to do. It's not that complicated. How we split it up and how the cash flow goes, you're going to be an easy deal to do. Parsons is going to be a hard deal to do. We know where Bosa's numbers is, and we're going to get above Bosa because Bosa's deal was done 2 years ago. So to me, I think you just go there. You're not going to do very much, but you're going to go there because you got to come to camp. Why give away $50,000 a year when you know you have to be there anyway?
Let's go to hoops. Kyrie Irving, 6 years after leaving Boston, is set to face his former team in the NBA Finals beginning this Thursday. Kyrie spent two seasons with the Celtics from 17 to 19. And it's no secret the relationship did not end on the best of terms. How should Irving approach this series and all the bad blood with C's fans?
Well, I think, Kyrie, you should approach it as if, you know, you haven't changed. You're still the same guy. You love basketball. You're just in a very comfortable situation, and you have a relationship with Jason Kidd that extends beyond the basketball court. And your role and your maturity has changed. I mean, we're all evolving. We are all becoming something different than we once were. And don't run from it. Like, don't run from it. Don't be stubborn about it. You know, accept your responsibility. Be an adult. And honestly say, look, you know, that's how I was then. I've changed. I'm in a better environment. It's worked out. Saved my life coming here. And I regret that it didn't work out in Boston. I apologize for it. But I'm in a better place now, and I'm looking forward. So I think you should embrace your past, learn from it, but don't dwell on it.
Irving, Luka, and the Mavs, a +175 underdog in the series against the Celtics. They are also getting 6.5 points in game one coming up Thursday, where we also expect to see Kristaps Porzingis for the first time since the first round. He suffered a calf injury in the first round of the playoffs, has not hit the court in more than a month since. According to reports, though, he is on track to also be playing against his former team. What does Kristaps Porzingis need to focus on to be his most effective self in the finals?
Well, I think he just needs to be him. I think he just needs to go with the flow. Kind of blend yourself in. Don't try to take the game over. Don't try to become bigger than the game. And just play your role, because your team's really good. You don't need to be a Superman. You don't need to be a hero. All you need to be is yourself. And your conditioning, we all know, is going to be a little less than it's been. So just take your time, grow into the role, and, you know, help your team in any little way possible to contribute to win a title that Boston so desperately needs. Because let's be clear here, this team is not going to be the same team next year, because they're so far over. They paid like $20 million in luxury taxes. They really went all in. You talk about going all in, they went all in. And so enjoy the moment while you can.
Would you be, because he is coming off injury, if you're looking at individual props, just targeting unders on him early?
Yep, I would. I mean, look, I Boston's a three-point shooting team. You know, they're a really good defensive team, and he's their best rim protector. And I think there's ways for him to ease himself into the game as opposed to trying to take the game over. And his conditioning, look, you know, none of these conditioning levels will be exhausting, because Dallas, you know, look, they've all been playing. Everybody's been playing other than him.
Plenty of time over the coming days to dive more into that series when we come back to the NFL with Simon Hunter next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
In addition to watching and listening to VSiN, don't forget about all the great betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Best bets from hosts and guests, betting splits, pro tips and trends, and right now on the homepage, betting previews for both the NBA and Stanley Cup Finals. Whether you're looking for series plays and props or game-by-game breakdowns as we go, VSiN.com has you covered. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you as we welcome you back to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And you all know we are all NFL all the time on this program. And thankfully, Simon Hunter shares that sentiment as well, who joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Professional bettor, Action Network NFL betting analyst, also host of The Favorites Pod. You can follow him on X at Simon Hunter NFL. And I didn't know that I was going to be the odd man out here in the New Jersey ties that we have, Simon. Welcome in. How are we doing?
Yeah, just a couple Jersey guys. I mean, luckily, we're not the Jersey Shore type you're thinking of. That's North Jersey. We're more South Jersey kind of guys.
I'm glad he clarified, right, Michael. I'm glad he clarified.
Well, you know, I listened to his pod. It's great. He and Chad Millman on the Action Network, I listened to him, and they do a wonderful job. And, you know, Simon has been around here a long time in the great state of New Jersey, so I thought it would be wonderful to get him on. So let's talk week one, Simon. Is there a game that you kind of, when the number came out, like for me, you know, when I looked at week one, I was a little bit taken back. Like, how is Chicago a 4.5-point favorite over anybody? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, if you want to jump right in on week one lines, the key to that one, though, is there are certain games you can wait on, right? So that's a game where I agree with you. Initial gut reaction is take the 4.5. But I think most professionals view that as a team you can sit on. And this line might get to 6. If Will Levis doesn't look great in preseason and, you know, the Williams is incredible with this Bears offense and Hard Knocks, this number can get to 6 by kickoff. So that's the kind of game where, yeah, your initial reaction's right, but you can be patient on those kind of games. You can wait and let the public really come in and bet that one, because this is a game where all the parlays, all the teasers, they're going to love the Bears in that number. That's just a number that's going to keep going up.
Simon, so that's interesting. Can you take us into your perspective a little bit when it comes to off-season betting the NFL? When these numbers become available and the schedule is released, are you firing on any of these games right away? Are you waiting to get through training camp and injuries and finding out who's going to go where? Like, what's your perspective on the NFL June 3rd?
Yeah, honestly, the best analogy everyone I got in the business about 10, 15 years ago was a guy said, week one, lines come out. It's like a bunch of crabs in the bucket, right? Everyone's pulling each other down, just trying to get the best number for everyone else, and the books move the number. So I would say the biggest one that jumped out to me was that Ravens-Chiefs game, week one, the total opened at 49.5 at a lot of books, and the numbers moved by 3 points to the under. So the professionals like me, I came in very heavy on that opening night total where – the Ravens offense isn't going to be as good as it was last year. And the same could be said for the Chiefs, that they're going to struggle as well. So that's the kind of thing where, yeah, everyone, as soon as those kind of numbers come out, especially a primetime game like that, all the professionals come in heavy. But again, you're only able to get a couple of thousand down just because the books, they want to protect themselves. So they're not going to be taking big wagers. It's really a filling out process here in the first couple of weeks.
What is your strategy in week one? For me, it's always about I always go back and look at how teams perform, the coaches more than anything. Like, I know Sean McVay doesn't practice hard, but his teams are always ready on opening day. Kyle Shanahan, he's not as great on opening day as some other teams. We saw him lose. What's your strategy when it comes to opening day? Is it just the number, or are you looking at the coaches and what they typically build their team towards?
Yeah, definitely all of it. I mean, like, really – I love playing my own numbers, so I have a model that gives me numbers, and that's really what I'm basing off of. But I like hearing all the trends, and I like talking about the different coaching styles, who has advantages early on. But definitely my view of it is always going to be, where's the value at? And usually value is going to be public perception, right? People are betting week one based off last year, which I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but it is. It's a new year. You know it is. I mean, the NFL turnover rate is so crazy, the coaching movement, all of it, every year is kind of different. So that's one of those where I kind of play off last year. Like, an easy one to me, week one, you're taking the Colts at home against Houston. They're a divisional dog at home in week one, where Houston is just, I mean, giving themselves the amount of flowers you can't believe. I mean, CJ is out here doing podcasts saying that he's a top five quarterback in the league. You can't get bigger heads right now. So that's an easy position of, I love Shane Steichen. I love the Colts. I love that they played so well against Houston last year with Minshew. And now they have a freak athlete coming in, Richardson, that's just – teams are only not a pair for him because he had so much little film on him last year. So that's a big one for me where the professionals love the Colts week one. The public, Joe Schmo, they love Houston week one.
Well, and the betting market shows that as well, because Stroud's tied for the second shortest shot with Josh Allen to be the regular season MVP this year. So the head's just going to continue to get bigger on that standpoint. Simon Hunter joining us, professional bettor and Action Network NFL betting analyst on the Progressive Guest Line here. You mentioned the word value, and I feel like in betting, that's the word that is constantly coming up because we're all trying to find that value on the board, whether it be game by game or in the futures market. When it comes to these divisions or season win totals, is there any team in your mind that is undervalued at this point still available in the market?
Yeah, there's a bunch. I'll start negative so we can end on a happy note. So I'll start with my team to fade. This is going to get a lot of what people are going to hear this whole summer, but it's to me, it's one of the easiest bets out there. It's the under on Green Bay 9.5. And it's just people are just loving too much of with Jordan Love because he played really well for half a season. If you go back and look, things just broke their way to get for them to get to the playoffs where they played Carolina and they just snuck by. They beat them by three. Then they played a Vikings team in their fifth round, their fifth quarterback. Then they ended on the Bears. And then in the playoffs, they played a Dallas team that, let's face it, I mean, Jordan Love played well, but that really was a Dak falling apart. And then they caught a 49ers team kind of sleep at the wheel. So right now, everyone you talk to is all in on Green Bay, Jordan Love, and just they love this team where, to me, it's too quick. It's too many things broke right. I don't think he's as great as people perceive. He is very talented, but that is a young team overall. And that's the vision. I don't think it's going to be as bad as it was last year. I think it's gotten better. And their schedule will be tougher as well because they did make the playoffs. So that's a team to me. You can get at a plus number right now, under 9.5 on Green Bay. That's right away where I want to start, where that's a team that's just they got there too early and teams are going to overreact. Four teams from last year's playoffs are going to miss the playoffs. That's a given. They just really fit that bill of a team that will regress just because they overextended what they should have done last year.
How about the positive side? Who do you think is undervalued?
I mean, people are going to love this. Let's head up to New York. I mean, I love both New York teams. We'll start with the Jets. They're going to have the really nice break of an easy schedule. If you look at it, I think they're going to lose week one. So you can wait if you do want to bet their futures. I do have the 49ers beating them week one. You know, that's just a tough spot to put Aaron Rodgers in his first game back on the road Monday night in a place he struggled against the San Francisco 49ers. But then look at their next five games. It's pretty winnable. And if that team can get out to a 5-1 lead, I don't even care if Rodgers goes down eventually. They brought in Tyrod Taylor as a backup. All you need is a game manager in that team. I mean, the weapons they have on offense, I know their offensive line has a lot of veterans and young guys. If they could put it together and stay healthy, I just think that this team has a ton of value based on schedule, the weakness in their division. It's just all there for this one year for this Jets team. So you can get their over right now at a plus number. I like that team to – last year I wanted to fade them because I just knew there was too much hype. This year I think it just all sets up well. But even if Aaron Rodgers half the man he used to be, that's the best quarterback they've had since – I mean, what, 40 years? I mean, let's be serious about this Jets franchise. So I'm really excited for their upside this season.
You said both New York teams, though. So, yeah, I need to hear your sales pitch for the Giants.
I know it's people just don't want to believe it because, again, it's based off what they saw last year. But this team had a season from hell, and this random Jersey kid, this 22-year-old, who should be, you know, working at a pizzeria, came out there and won them a couple of games. Like, this team will be so much better once Daniel Jones is back. And now they have Neighbors. I think Hyatt's slept on their wide receivers, another really good on the outside. People are rating the Barkley departure as well. Like, we've seen it time and time again. These running backs don't really move the needles unless they're going to a great team. So Barkley, big upgrade for the Eagles, but I don't think it's that big of a loss for this Giants team. So to me, Daniel Jones, too much is being put on him for being a bust and not being that great. He's on his second contract here, and I think this is a big year for him where he knows this is it, right? He's got to produce this year, got to get him back to the playoffs, or he is going to be most likely moved on from. So, again, 6.5 plus number on the over. It's just a team I'm really excited about, the Giants, that I think everyone likes a new toy in Washington where the Giants is where I get the value. It's a team that underperformed last year. Now they're healthy, and as bad as Daniel Jones people make him out to be, Dabo knows how to set him up in the system that he can play well in it. So that's another team I'm just really excited about.
Simon, we're up against it, but expect us to bug you more this offseason.
You like the Giants in week one, I take it then too, huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. What a time to be alive. I know you said you're not a Jersey Shore guy, but Jim Tan Laundry isn't a bad life. We appreciate you, Simon. Talk to you soon.
Great job, Simon. Thank you.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We're so close to crowning an NBA champ, and with the action heating up on the court, it's even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New to DraftKings, listen up. New customers get a no-sweat bet up to $1,500. Just deposit at least $5, and you'll get a bonus bet back equal to your first bet if it doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. and use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. And while it's not our official pro tip of the day, I did think worth noting coming off of the NBA read that our guy Thomas Gable earlier in the program did mention home court has not been the greatest thing for either one of these teams this season. And if you maybe like the Celtics, maybe hold off on betting them in the series until after game one, see how that one shakes out. But we do have a pro tip today in the NFL, Michael, because yes, we are talking NFL betting on June 3rd. It is what we do on the Lombardi Line. And a couple of great points were made from Simon Hunter, who joined us last block of the Action Network, talking about how he views making bets, whether it be for week one or in the futures market, saying don't overreact to what we saw from teams last year. Essentially, each year is a new year, and the best bettors are projecting forward, not looking back.
Yeah, I think that's the most important thing. And I think what he said there, too, was hold off on betting week one if you think the line's going to move. Mm-hmm. Because last year's last year, and this year's a new year. And I think he had so many great tips in that is, you know, don't fall for the public. You know, look, I like Green Bay. Now, the reason I like Green Bay isn't because of Jordan Love. I like Green Bay because of Halfley, the new defensive coordinator, that I think will give them an uplift defensively. But I think you have to be really careful. Last year's last year. It's going to change. And also, don't bet like that Tennessee number could go up. Because if Levis isn't good in the preseason, that number is going to increase.
Yeah, and that's a sentiment shared by you, right? You still have a lot of questions as it pertains to Will Levis and what we're going to see from that Titans offense. Free daily betting tips on vsin.com. That is our pro tip of the day. And again, these are searchable by sport and by show each and every day. But I want to keep following up on some of the points that came out of that conversation with Simon, because another team that he mentioned was the Houston Texans and the love affair that the public and public bettors, I'm sure, will also have with CJ Stroud. And that speaking of not overreacting, look at this team, how they went from 2 years ago to last year. They were the worst team in the division. They were a two-win team. They go on to make the postseason, and they have this amazing resurgence. People are buying into that so much that everything is more heavily priced going into this season.
Yeah, and I think I had a conversation with a NFL coach, and we were talking about having a target on your back. And you know, nobody realizes what that target is like until they actually have it on their back. And I can remember when the Rams won a Super Bowl, someone told Sean McVay that this will be the hardest year of your life. And he was like, how is that possible? We just won a Super Bowl. Well, you have the target on your back now, you know, and everybody's going to come after you and your players are content. And I think with C.J. Stroud, you know, going on, like you mentioned, saying he's already in the top five quarterbacks in the league, people have a target on their back on Houston. You know, it's not going to be easy. And if you go back and watch their games, they weren't easy. You know, they weren't. That Indianapolis game week 18 was not an easy game for them. But they found a way to win the game. And I think people are going to spend all their offseason studying the Houston Texans, and they're going to have to raise their level of play. What was fascinating about Houston is their number win total was set at 8.5 when the season's, you know, and when they made the Diggs trade, it moved to 9.5, which it didn't make any sense to me at all. So are they an 8.5 win team or a 9.5 win team? I think it's probably close to the latter.
Okay, I'm going to continue down the Houston Texans road as we follow up our Gridiron Goldilocks series here. Today we're looking at rushers in new places. And Danielle Hunter goes from, obviously, his previous spot in Minnesota to the Houston Texans, agrees to a two-year, $49 million deal, arguably the best season of his career with 16.5 sacks, 23 TFLs, and over 1,000 snaps played. We look at his over-under for sacks this year, 10.75 sacks. Do we think that this is too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's just right, but what worries me about playing Danielle Hunter, who's a fabulous player, back injury, got paid, back injury, got paid. Those never go hand in hand. You know, when you're in the contract year, you're playing at a higher level than when you get paid. It's just human nature. It's just the way it is. He should get 10.75 sacks. He should get 11. He's got Will Anderson on the other side. They've got good players inside. They're built to rush. the way the front is orchestrated, it's all about up the field. They want their ends to crash. They're playing the run to the quarterback. So he should get to that number. There's no question, but he's got to stay healthy to do it.
Yeah. I like that you said that about Will Anderson, though. He had 7 sacks last year, defensive rookie of the year. Should be a pretty formidable duo if they stay healthy. And again, like, that's such a big question. That's what's so hard about handicapping things in the offseason is there are so many ifs about what's to come. How about Hassan Reddick, traded from the Eagles to the Jets in March? He hasn't been at OTAs, and there has been some speculation he would like a new deal. The Jets acquired him on the final year of a 3-year contract. Of course he does.
Who doesn't want a new deal? Who doesn't want a new deal? I mean, come on.
He's called to get $15 million this year, but none of it's guaranteed. So, of course, that's where his mind is at. We'll know around Jets mini camp starting June 11th where he stands there. That said, we know this dude can flat out play. His prop set at 10.25 sacks. Too high, too low, or just right?
I think it's a little too high. I'm not sure. You know, the Eagles got rid of him for a reason. They were quick to get rid of him, and they traded him. They did a smart thing. They outsmarted the Jets. The Jets should have franchised. They should have franchised Bryce Huff, and they didn't. And the Eagles were able to get him. And then the Eagles traded them. You know, for Hassan Reddick, when they could have done the reverse. They could have traded Reddick for Huff and gotten draft picks because the Eagles were desperate to sign Huff. Look, I think Reddick was not the same player at the end of last year. And if he's not in camp now and he's worried about a contract, I think the numbers are too high.
Okay. 11 sacks last year, 12 the year prior. How about Brian Burns as we continue to discuss pass rushers in new places, gridiron Goldilocks? Brian Burns goes from one failing franchise to another, but with more money in his pocket. He signed with the Giants for 5 years, $150 million, to tie a bow on a trade from Carolina. He can certainly help cement the foundation of that defense alongside Kayvon Thibodeau and defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence. His prop set at 8.75 sacks, too high, too low, or just right for Burns?
Well, I think it's just right. It's what he had last year, and he played on a team that couldn't get a lead, right? So he's going to play on another team that can't get a lead. And last year he had 18 quarterback hits. So he got to the quarterback, but, you know, with Thibodeau on the other side, they're going to play a lot of Tampa. It's going to be a lot of zone. The ball's going to come out quick. I think it's right. I lean under here. I really do, because I think they're not going to be able to play from in front. They're going to play a lot of zone defense. Tampa, too, they're not going to be the same team that attacked last year. So I think, to me, that's something I would play against that. And I think ultimately, I think for him to have a big season, he's got to stay healthy. He had 16 games last year. He only had 8 sacks. So I think that number I lean under.
I also love that he played 60, only had 8 sacks, yet it was still 30% of the cumulative sacks for the entire team, who were an NFL worst with just 27 on the year. He's had 46 sacks his 5 seasons in Carolina. Last one here, Jadeveon Clowney goes to Carolina. The Rock Hill native played for the hometown Panthers. He is a little bit older, 31 years old, but coming off a career high 9.5 sacks last season in Baltimore. Also had 19 QB hits, 43 tackles for loss, 5 passes defended, and 2 forced fumbles. Can he pick up where he left off? His total is pretty low here, 6.25 sacks.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a low number. What the book's telling you is they think he's not going to stay healthy.
Yeah.
That he got paid and he's not going to stay healthy. Because for him, the way he played last year, this was the best year he's had in a long time, since probably, you know, his second or third year in the league. Now, a scheme helped him last year with Mike McDonald's scheme in Baltimore. But again, are they going to be playing from in front? I think it's too low. I think the concern I would have with betting it is, can he stay healthy? That's what worries me about Clowney. Can he stay healthy? You know, it worries me about all these guys. Hunter, it worries me about Clowney. Can they stay healthy? Because they've had injuries in the past.
Yeah, I don't want to go back to Hunter too much here, but missed all of the 2020 season, another 10 games in 2021. You hope that these guys can be that, because, I mean, that's what's fun to watch, right? You want to watch these guys getting after the quarterback, and they're so talented and they're so together, but so much is reliant on if they can just be on the field to begin with.
Exactly. And if they're not in the offseason program and they got paid, that's always, after you get paid, it's always, you're worried about the next year. You're worried about how he handles the deposits, because if they handle the deposits by not showing up, that lends itself to being prone to injury the next season.
No doubt about it. As far as defensive player of the year odds go, Hunter 25-1, Hassan Reddick 50-1, Brian Burns 60-1, and Clowney 80-1. none of those my
I wouldn't
favorite.
Play any of them.
Yeah,
I would not play any of them. Yeah.
I hope that you have success in your new places. I'm just not sure that I have interest in putting even pizza money down on those. Okay, that's a wrap for us today. Enjoy your day, everybody. Sharp Money is coming up next here on VSiN. And if you didn't get your full football fill, the Ross Tucker Football Show is next on DraftKings Network. We'll see you tomorrow.